I wonder if you've ever seen that Tetley tea ad that has Pam Ayres. And she finishes by saying that, well, the tea bag is really great and it's round instead of square. And then she says that the tea bag is well-rounded like me. Well, I don't know whether I'm real well-rounded like Pam Ayres, but I am well-rounded. And I'll tell you how. Not physically, perhaps, but I am a complete person. Well-rounded person, fulfilled, contented, whole and satisfied. And what did I want to buy? I wanted to buy that cereal that's called Complete. Because I wanted to show it to you. I've never bought that cereal, but I'm sure it must be good with a name like that. And is it spelt with a K instead of a C? Yes, oh well. Doesn't matter. Well, can you say today, where you are in your life right now, that you are complete, that you are fulfilled, that you are satisfied? Or does your life right now seem unsatisfied, meaningless, and empty? I hope not. Let's look back in our lives, and I pray that we can be assured that we have fulfilled the purpose of life. And another thing I couldn't find today, St. Augustine said something very good, and I won't get his words right, but he said that God created us for him, and that there's a part of us that's meant to be indwelt by him, and until that happens, our life is empty. We are not complete. Well, it doesn't mean that we can look back on a life of ease and without pain and everything just so. What it does mean when we are complete is that we know God. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in our heart. We know that God has brought us this far, and we look ahead with complete assurance that we'll be carried on in his loving arms, right into eternity. That's what being complete is. You know, Colossians chapter 2 gives us a picture of a well-rounded person. Not like that, but a fulfilled person. In fact, this chapter is full of fools. And no matter what translation you read, you'll find that there's words like full, overflowing, complete, full riches, full assurance, complete understanding, overflowing thankfulness. It's a full chapter, chapter 2 of Colossians. In fact, verse 10 of this chapter tells us the secret of a fulfilled life. It says, you are complete in him. You are complete in Christ. You have been given fullness in Christ. Well, we're going to just pick out a few things from this chapter, and if you want to read it at home, you'll get it back into your memory. What we're going to look at are the wonderful treasures that we have as Christians that make us complete, a fulfilled woman today. The world has a funny idea of this being a fulfilled woman. They've got it all wrong. The fulfilled woman is the woman who is complete in Christ. Doesn't matter if she's got the right to vote or what rights she's got. She is complete in Christ. She has fulfilled the whole purpose of living, and that is to know Christ, to belong to him, and one day live in eternity with him. Let's look at some of these things. Verses 1 to 5, you'll find complete understanding. Verses 6 to 8, you'll find complete joy. Verses 9 to 17, you'll find complete life. And then verses 18 to 19, you'll find complete support. Perhaps there are Christians here today that feel anything but complete, anything but satisfied, anything but fulfilled. We all get those feelings, don't we? And Satan's very clever at giving us those awful feelings. So that's why I wanted to look at this today, because we've got to remind ourselves of all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're feeling depleted, defeated, even deflated, not well-rounded at all. Well, this chapter will teach us so much. May we see just how full we are and can be. deep desire for the church when he wrote this letter was that they would be well-rounded Christians, that they would be fulfilled Christians, complete in Christ. Well, first of all, complete understanding, verses 1 to 5. Well, complete with a K, I'm sure tells us that with all the vitamins and energy and things in this cereal, we would have great brain food, lots of wisdom. If I was making a cereal, I would say that. And I'm sure complete says that. Complete. But all wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. That's what these verses tell us. So it is in becoming a Christian that we find wisdom and understanding. And it's in learning more and more about the Lord Jesus that we get to know more and more about truth and about life and what it's all about. Verse 3 says, here we go, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then up in verse 2 it tells us that they're all riches of the full assurance of understanding. God has chosen Christ as the storehouse of all his divine wisdom. And we have access to this great storehouse, this great treasure. Those verses tell us that the Lord Jesus is the incarnation of truth. He is fully God. When he became fully man, he was still fully God. Isn't that wonderful? Knowledge. What's knowledge? Well, knowledge is understanding of truth, but wisdom is bigger. Wisdom is when you put what you understand into practice. And that's what wisdom is. In our day-by-day experiences. So if you want wisdom for living each day, a complete life in today, that wisdom is found in Christ. We possess every attribute and every resource we need in Christ. And this gives us full assurance, hope and security. Okay, we know with our heads that we are never alone. The Lord Jesus has told us he'll never ever leave us. And if we're a wise woman today, we'll put that into practice. Today, if we're feeling lonely, we'll say, I know the Lord Jesus is with me. He's told me he'll never leave me. And that's a wise woman, isn't it? We know that God is love. We know that everything he does is in love. He is love. And so when things around us today toss us and tumble us, we'll say, I know God is love, and this is happening in that circle of love. And so the wise woman will decide to trust in that love that day and not worry anymore. He is working in love. We know from the Bible, it tells us in Philippians and other places too, that he's working in us. The good work that he started in us. We know that with our heads. And when we fall flat on our face and we have to pick ourselves up again and we say, thank you Lord, forgive me. I know you're working in me. You've promised you're going to keep working in me. And one day I'll stand before you perfect. So we know that with our head. And so if we feel really bad today about something that we've done, we'll fix it up. And we'll say, thank you, Lord. You are still working on me. I want everyone else to be patient with me. And I'm going to be patient with me too, because you're not finished with me yet. And then we might look at those circumstances which we've thought about before, who toss us and knock us about. Do you know, and I hope you do know, that God is working in those circumstances too? I found that out in Philippians the other week. He's not only working in us, but he's working in the circumstances around us. And even bad things, he is working together for good. And in Philippians it tells you it's for the advance of the gospel. So he's working in circumstances. So if we know that with our head, the wise woman will say, well, Lord, these circumstances sure look rotten today, but I'm trusting in you and I know you're working in them. You know, I came across a lovely little song recently, and I won't sing it to you. You'll all go home. And I won't recite it to you, but I will tell you exactly what it is, the main part of it. It says, Father, I place into your hands, and it goes down all the things that the wise woman will place into God's hand today, the complete woman. Father, my friends and family, the things that worry me, the things I want to be, the things I cannot do, and every time that it follows through the verses it says, for I know I always can trust you. Verse 4, when you look at it at home, will give you a warning. Don't let anyone lead you astray by telling you that the knowledge and the understanding that the world gives is the thing that counts. It isn't. They can be enticing words and attractive words, but true wisdom is the gift from God, and the beginning of true wisdom, we're told in the Old Testament, starts with fearing, loving God, having Him as the centre point of your life. I read recently that as a woman grows older and wiser, she talks less and says more. So they must be quite weighty words from this well-rounded woman, mustn't they? So, I wonder how you're feeling today in your life. If you have complete understanding, it comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. All understanding and the depth of knowledge and wisdom is found in Him. What about complete joy? This is verses 6 to 9, and I'm sure if we had that box of complete cereal today, it would tell us that the flavour of that cereal is so good, it would put sunshine and pleasantness into your day. It would start it off really great. Do you know, a thankful heart has a continual feast. Remember that. Boy, if we had a continual feast, we'd be well-rounded, wouldn't we? But a thankful heart is a continual feast. Let us ask ourselves today if we are contented, satisfied, truly happy, joyful, thankful. Or are we frustrated, fragmented, floundering, hanging on to fleeting wisps of gladness which just lasts for a little bit and you think you've got it for a moment and it's gone? These verses tell us how we can be always overflowing with thankfulness and joy, and it's only in one way, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in Him, and then living each day with that simple faith in Him, walking with Him each day. It's by being held steadfast by Him, because we're rooted in Him, strong. It's being strengthened by Him as we build our lives on Him, not on the wispy things that are taken away from us bit by bit, so it seems, as we get older. That's not what we're going to be built on. We're going to be built on Him. Verses 6 and 7 say this, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. That's where it comes from. So Paul urges the Christians to walk with the Lord. That means to keep in daily communion with Him. Have you talked with the Lord today? Do you know, the media and everybody are getting to me. For the last year, I have started walking early in the morning for 20 minutes, really early, because my first son catches the 20 to 6 train. So I have my little reading of my Bible and then I go for a brisk walk, nobody else around. You know what I've turned that walk into? Talk with the Lord. And it has been a precious, precious experience. When I used to try and have a quiet time home, I'd nod off to sleep. Well, when you're walking, you can't really do that. Not very well. I mean, I guess some people sleepwalk, but not at 20 to 6 in the morning. If you walk, you don't stay in the same place. So when you walk with the Lord, that's what it's going to be like in your Christian life. You're either going forward, or you're not going anywhere, and you could be going backwards. Too often, people take the first step and they become a Christian, and they become a Christian by faith, by accepting the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and then they don't take any more steps. What a shame. Do you know what? I want to be a Christian like I am a driver. Do you want to know what sort of driver I am? And my boys would tell you this is true. I'm not very good at reversing. Going forward and I'm fine. But put me anywhere but my driveway and make me do a reverse and I'm in trouble. Well, I want to be a Christian like that too. Never in reverse. Never static, never going backwards, just going forward. And you know, as you keep this daily communion with you, with the Lord, so the roots go deeper and deeper into Him. And you are established in your faith, strong. Now, the importance of having our roots deep is that when the strong winds blow, and they do, we will not be moved. Not because we're strong, but because our roots are deep in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deep in Him, it's the Lord that keeps us strong. And this is an ongoing process. Haven't you found this in your life? There's just one thing after another. A new thing to learn all the time. It never lets up. And I've got an awful feeling it's going to keep on like that till the very end. But that's great. Because as we're rooted in Him, we're learning more. And the roots go deeper as we trust Him more for each of those things that come. A rooted life will be a developing life. It will be a life that is progressing and fruitful. It's great to plant a tree, isn't it? And you know its roots have really gone deep when it does everything it should do, that tree. Leaves at the right time, blossoms at the right time, fruit at the right time. Fail to progress like that could mean lack of joy and definitely lack of witness. People will wonder what we're on about if we're a Christian that is not abounding in joy and thankfulness. They'll say, well, so, what's the Lord Jesus done for you? With a life that is walking each day with the Lord, rooted in Him, learning more about Him, established in faith, there'll be abounding joy and people will see it. He is the way to a fulfilled, satisfied life, a life of thankfulness and joy. Now, Paul urges them once again, there's warnings all along in this chapter, Paul urges them not to stray away by taking the teachings of men, which sound real good. Verse 8 says that the false teachings rob people of what is worthwhile. They'll rob us of our joy. You know, there's a lot of... Women's magazines today are filled with some of these strange teachings. We need to have our eyes know what we're looking at. Being guided by the stars and this and that, and the New Age movement and humanism is creeping in everywhere. And it looks real good. Sounds terrific. We have to be so careful because these false things will rob us of our joy, which is only found in being established in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I think it is? Some of these things that they tell us in these magazines to put our trust in, what's going to happen this week or whatever, I don't know. A fickle, flimsy fairy floss. There's no basis at all to it. You know, any philosophy, no matter how good it is, if it leaves out the Lord Jesus Christ, it's misleading and it's empty. And it's of the devil, I'm afraid to say. Now, thankfulness. You know what thankfulness does? It makes for a happy person and a great mind. Really good. Ephesians and a happy person. Ephesians 5 and 20 says, a happy person giving thanks always for all things. Oops, not easy. Well, I've got a little note to myself here, which I have.
If you can't be grateful for what you receive, be grateful for what you escape. Okay? So there will be something to be grateful for, and it's a wonderful attitude to have. Well, what about dishes? Thank God for dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we have eaten well, so you can be thankful for dishes. Well, my wrinkles, I want them to show where the smiles have been. Now, what are your wrinkles showing today? In the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be overflowing with thankfulness and joy, and our wrinkles will show where the smiles have been. Let me come to verses 9 to 17, a complete life. Well, I'm sure complete with a K would tell you that there is such natural goodness in this whole grain cereal, or whatever it is, that it will be very important for a wholesome life. Well, there's no natural goodness in me, and there's no natural goodness in any of us. There might be some incomplete, but there's no natural goodness in any of us. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to give us real life. Life eternal. Life that comes from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, being part of God's family. Verse 9 clearly states this. I wonder if I should read verse 9, 10 and 13b. Verse 9 says this: For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is the Lord Jesus. And ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. And then 13b. Oh, I hope I've got 13b. Yes. Okay. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So verse 10 tells us we've been given fullness in Christ, complete life in Christ. In our union with him, we can find total fulfillment of all that God created us to be. If we happen to die without being a Christian, we have not fulfilled the whole purpose for the life that God gave us. That's the whole purpose for him giving us life. 13b, verse 13b tells us God made us alive in Christ when he forgave us all our sins. That's the moment we have new life in Christ. And this is the only way to have spiritual life from God, is to have our sins forgiven. You know, I said none of us have any natural goodness. Well, we haven't. And because we haven't got natural goodness, that means that spiritually we were dead. But when we hear the gospel and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us so that our sins could be forgiven, when we believe that and thank him for dying for us, our spirits taste life because God gives them life. The Holy Spirit makes that spirit part in us alive. And we have new life from God. We are joined to God and we'll be with him forever. You know, there was the Coke ads used to say, I don't know if they still do, that Coke adds life. Now, I'm not sure. That's because I don't drink Coke. I don't know what it does. But I guess a lot of things people might think in life can add life. But nothing but the Lord Jesus can give life. Real life. Life. Spiritual life from God, life which will go on forever. I'm sure we've realised in times past, and you'll realise as you read this chapter, that rules, regulations, rituals, doing good, doing, cannot earn life from God. Spiritual life, life with God. Nothing can earn us that. It is through accepting the Lord Jesus alone. He fulfilled all that the law has demanded, and in our place he paid the price for our sins, and now all those things are cancelled in null. Verse 16 has a warning. Beware of judging yourself and others by a list of do's and don'ts, because what really counts is whether you're a Christian or not. Not the do's and don'ts. That judgment time before God, it will not be on what the do's and don'ts you did or you didn't do. It will be whether you are Christian and have real life. God is working in us to complete what he began when we became Christians. We fail though, don't we, often? And I put here to myself, Margaret, when you fall, turn it into a film. a filling station, if you like to say, because that time when you fall and you don't perhaps do what you'd like to do doesn't mean you're not a Christian anymore. Once you become a Christian, you are safe in his hands forever. Nothing can pluck you out of his hands. But when you do fall, it makes you feel sad. What do you do? Makes God feel sad too. Where you come to him for a fill, you say you're sorry, ask for his forgiveness, and his word tells us that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we have a renewed consciousness of his presence and a new opportunity to prove his wisdom and his strength as we walk on with him. Well, then our lives will be controlled not by our sinful nature, but by his Spirit, verse 11. Yes, we are complete without the aid of pomp and circumstance. Pomp and ceremony. We are complete in Christ. We are complete in Christ without the help of philosophy and all these great knowledges that the world would offer. We are complete in Christ without all the inventions of superstitions and all that sort of thing. We are complete in Christ without the aid of human merit. The word complete is identical with the Greek word meaning fullness. We are complete in Christ. A Christian is a fulfilled woman. She is well-rounded. She is complete. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, who had all the fullness of God in him, could make us complete and give us fulfillment. What about the last bit, verses 18 to 19? Complete support. I'm sure if we had this serial called Complete with a K, it would tell us that it would give us strength for everything that comes along. Nourishment would make our bones and muscles really strong. The people in Colossae, it seems, from this chapter, some of them must have been clairvoyant or something. They must have been talking to somebody, celestial beings or something, and they were puffed up. They were full of puff. That's all the puff is, hot air. And verse 18 tells us that they had idle notions and they were worshipping angels and they were right off the track. Well, Paul warns them to have nothing to do with these false teachings. Now, wouldn't it be ridiculous to worship stars or angels or great knowledge from other things instead of the one who made the stars and the angels? These people ended up worshipping the creature rather than the creator. It's a real fact. Well, and we're all a bit of puff. Doesn't give us any substance at all. Verse 19 tells us that when we are Christians, we're joined to Christ, our head, and we live daily connected to his power in us. That's where we'll have our strength, our support for today, when we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, our head. He supplies all our needs from his exhaustless resources. That's wonderful, isn't it? These people, they weren't holding to the head, the Lord Jesus, from whom all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment, ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. That's how we are strong and increasing with the increase of God, by being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ complete. We have support, all his resources at our disposal, all his strength, all his power at our disposal. I was cleaning the bath yesterday with gumption, and I thought I'd look up what gumption meant, because I thought it must have been a pretty good word to be used for a bath cleaner, and it works very well. My mother put me onto that a long time ago. Many things that Mum puts you on are just right, aren't they? Well, gumption, you know what it means? Resourcefulness. And I thought, resourceful. We can be full of resources, not in ourselves. We are so frail, aren't we? But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are resourceful. in Christ, we have complete ability to face anything we have. You know, we often just sit back and dwindle and just stop because we are relying on our own weakness. In Christ, we have all sufficiency, enough to meet every need. If we need strength, we have His complete strength. He is our strength. If we need peace, we have His complete peace. He is our peace. If we need patience, we have His love and patience. We can be long-suffering. You've got to say that word like that, long-suffering, because some things that we face and we need patience for mean we have long-suffering. You know what patience can mean? It can mean waiting without worrying. I wonder if you're worrying about something today. Ask the Lord Jesus to give you patience, and that will mean that you'll be able to wait without worrying. I wonder if you've got somebody who is really making it hard to be patient. Ask for the Lord's patience, and you'll be able to care slowly, day after day after day. Patience. He is our patience. You know, I was personally blessed the other week and very challenged. There was somebody hurting me badly. Not personally, but they were hurting our little assembly. And I think they're going to keep on hurting that little assembly. And I was feeling so hurt about it, I thought, I cannot look that person in the face. And this was a shock to me, because I don't think I've ever felt quite that bad before. I thought, come on, Margaret, you've got to deal with this, and you can, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can face all situations through Christ who strengthens me. I have the strength to face all conditions, all people, all situations in the power that Christ gives me. So do you know what I did? Because I was sitting there, I told myself this. I can face all difficult people through Christ. I can face all situations difficult people bring through Christ. I can face all difficult days through Christ. I can face all disappointments. And you see, I like this person a lot. I was disappointed. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, isn't it? When you really admire, respect and love someone and you're disappointed, that's hard to take. I can face all disappointments in the strength Christ gives me. I can face all fears. This, that, tomorrow, what that difficult person or that difficult situation will bring. I can face all fears about tomorrow through Christ. I can face the unknown in the strength that Christ gives me. I can deal with my pain, my handicap, my loneliness, my rejection in the strength that Christ gives me. I can cope today, and I mean today, not knowing where our eldest son is right now, and the difficult days that have brought me to today. I can face that today. Part of me wishing he would come home and do his thing. Part of me wishing I knew where he was. Part of me broken because he's stolen from us for a family for months and months and months. And last week stole $900 from his brother. So I can face that today, knowing that he hasn't come home because he's frightened, but wanting him to come home to get his things. I can face all that in the strength that Christ gives me. You know the incredible truth about all this is? And I'm going to finish with this, and it's a great verse. It's Psalm 41 and verse 1 and 8. And you've got to read it in the King James Version, because when I read it in another, I said, no, that's not what I want this verse to tell me. And this is what the verse tells us. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Wow, we become well-rounded, enlarged, more of a complete person, more full, when? Not in the easy days, but in distress. And there's parting paper, and I should have looked it up, and I didn't, which tells us that in hard times, many great things happen. We become more conscious of God's nearness. Why? Because we turn to Him, we want to be near Him, and He's promised He'll be near to us, and He is. We are commendable before God in these times of distress because we turn to Him in faith, and that pleases Him. And I should look it up, I didn't, but I'm telling you, there's lots of things. I sleep when I probably wouldn't have, and yet you think I know. I think I know it's bigger than that. Perhaps I'm learning at last to place everything in my hands, in God's hands, and trust Him. And then I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Well, David knew that. It was because of his renewed trust in those difficult times that he was enlarged as a person. He became more complete. He became more the person that God wanted him to be. He was enlarged because he had the strength that God would give him to face that circumstance and all the tasks ahead of him. He would have God's guidance and he would have God's wisdom, and he would be really enlarged in that difficult time. Well, let me ask you, are you complete? Are you a complete person? Are you a Christian? Because unless you are not complete. Are you complete with understanding of truth, of all that the world and life is about? Are you complete in understanding and wisdom? Because you are in Christ. Depths of knowledge and wisdom are only found in Him. And when you know all that you have in the Lord Jesus, you will be wise each day and use it in your day-to-day life. What about complete in joy? Have you a thankful heart today? Today, there may be only a few things that you've received that you could be thankful for. But how about thanking the Lord for the things that you have escaped? But most of all, thank Him for all that He is to you. All that He is, all that He's done, and all that He's going to do. And you will have a thankful heart. And that will be by walking with Him, trusting in Him, being rooted in Him. And how about complete life? Have you real life? Do you know that you have eternal life? You are complete in Christ. You have eternal life when you are complete in Him. What about complete support? What about strength for today? Can you face all situations today? Well, you can. In the strength that the Lord Jesus gives you, you can have complete support for whatever you have to face. Be well-rounded.